Hi, I'm GP. And I'm a first-time dad. Alright, so for this episode, we'll be talking about sleep. That is one of the most important things for a human being, not just a baby, but also an adult, of course. And I remember when I was young, there was always the afternoon nap, and it was something that was enforced at home, and even when I went to sleep over at my cousin's house, at my grandparents' house, they would always enforce the afternoon nap, and sometimes there would be threats, like you won't be able to play computer games or watch TV if you don't sleep, and sometimes there'd be a reward, like there'd be a delicious merienda for you when you woke up, something like halo halo or other delicious treats. So you can see how important sleep is to children, especially. You know, adults actually look for sleep. When you grow older, you'll be looking for it. You'll be wanting to sleep every chance you get, but adult responsibilities will prevent you from doing that. However, children, they really need sleep, but they have so much energy that sometimes they ignore the afternoon sleep and they take it for granted that they get things such as afternoon sleeps. Now, in the case of newborns, up to maybe 3-4 months, that's all they do, eat and sleep. And when I say eat, I mean breastfeed. And that is all they do. Their time is divided into two, just sleeping and feeding. And then as they grow older, there's a sleeping, feeding, and then waking time. This waking time can be used either observing the world, just looking around, and then eventually when they grow older, they're going to be interacting. So they'll be smiling at you, they'll be making noises, they'll be moving, and the older they get, the more physical the waking time becomes. So my boy right now, he's 7 months old. He's very physical when he's awake. He always wants to be doing something. It's either grabbing things, putting stuff in his mouth, standing up, trying to stand up, forcing himself up. He still can't crawl. So, you know, there's a limitation to that mobility that he has, but he's getting there. So sleep doesn't come that often anymore, and sleep becomes hard to come by, especially in the daytime. But by the time he reaches 6 months, 7 months, his body will have adapted to the circadian rhythm. That means he recognizes the light and darkness. So when he sees the daylight, he knows that's the time to be awake. And at night, we make sure to turn off all the lights. When he goes to sleep, we don't have a night light anymore, just to acclimatize his body to the darkness, so that when he feels the darkness, he knows that that's sleeping time. All right, so making a baby sleep, there are different techniques now to make a baby sleep. Sometimes you rock them gently, sway them side to side. Another way is to sing them a lullaby, something repetitive and melodic. You know, just a simple melody, doesn't have to be a complex melody, just even just a few notes, as long as there's a variation in sound and it's repetitive so that he knows it's not speech. You know, that's the difference between the intonations of speech and music. Speech is kind of random. You know, the highs and lows of speech are not as mathematically precise as in music. Because in music, there's a certain rhythm, expectation-wise. You know, when you hear music, you can sometimes predict what the next note will be or how the next chord progression will be. That's what I'm talking about when I say it's mathematically predictable. So when you're going to hum a lullaby to your baby, you can make up your own or you can do the standards. You know, there's a lot of lullabies passed down from generation to generation. You can also consult Spotify, YouTube, or online sources for lullabies, bedtime songs. You know, these help to put the baby to sleep. And another technique would be gently tapping the baby on any part of the body, usually on the leg, on the thigh, sometimes on the tummy. I'm not really certain what causes this, because somehow when a baby's asleep and then he suddenly cries himself awake, you know, what the parents usually do is they just quickly tap the baby gently on the body, and then he's gonna relax, he's gonna stop crying, and pretty soon he's gonna go back to sleep. Now, I think the reason for that is that the baby's used to motion when he was in the womb, because even when the mother is lying down, there's still a breathing motion, you know, the lungs move when the mother breathes, and that movement of the lungs pushes the tummy, and that causes a gentle rocking sensation to the baby. So I guess when the baby doesn't feel anything, he or she panics and starts to cry, wakes himself up. So the tapping, I think, is a soothing mechanism just to tell the baby that, oh, we're here, I'm here, everything's okay. You know, because the baby might feel lost. But when he suddenly realizes that he's just in the bed or in the crib, he's going to start to panic. So I think that is the reason for the tapping. All right, so one thing that I would advise is for you to play a more active role in letting your child sleep. Because I was watching a Netflix documentary on babies. I'm going to talk about that in a future episode. But in the documentary, the dad, the father, is able to make his child sleep. Not just once, but several times. Now, I've done that once. I can count it once. Carried my baby and just gently rocked him. Then he fell asleep. But I was not able to do that again. Well, one reason is I wasn't really actively asking for that task. Like, give me the baby, I'm going to put him to sleep. I wasn't asking for it. That was just a one-time thing. So that one I regret not doing too much, because apparently if the baby gets used to the mother's rocking motions, the mother's lullabies, when the baby grows a bit older, like 3 to 4 months, he or she will only sleep to the mother's rocking motion, to the mother's lullaby. And somehow my baby has associated me as the guy I play with, you know, like, that's the adult that plays with me. Okay, so I'm in play mode now. And then when he sees my wife, his mother, he goes, oh, this is the one that feeds me. This is the one that puts me to sleep. So when my baby sees his mother's face, he immediately associates that face with feeding, with sleeping, with comfort. And when he sees my face, he just associates it with playtime. So I'm just a playmate to him, which should not be the case. You know, fathers should be able to put children to sleep. And again, I regret not having a more active role in that when my boy was a newborn. Okay, so I think one of the most important things that you have to get early on in the baby's sleeping pattern is the circadian rhythm, as I mentioned earlier. You have to train the baby to associate bright light with waking time and darkness with sleeping. When he was a newborn, my baby just literally slept every 2 hours. So he sleeps for 2 hours, wakes up, it feeds, and then he sleeps again. And sometimes it's on the dot, you know, it's like clockwork. And my wife had a hard time sleeping, changing her sleep patterns, because, you know, she's not used to it yet, but eventually she got used to it. But, you know, the thing is with babies, you should not let them dictate how they will behave, because they're born into this world, into the Matrix, and you have to teach them the rules of the Matrix. And here in the Matrix, you know, you don't sleep every 2 hours. And of course, they don't know that yet, but eventually they will. And that's the purpose of you training them. And one of the things that my wife used to do was she would just lay him down on the bed, you know, not in the crib. You know, we didn't put our baby to sleep on the crib. The reason for that is on the bed, as soon as the baby cries, my wife just takes out her breast and just puts the nipple in his mouth. So as soon as the baby feels the nipple in his mouth, he starts to suck. It's a comfort suck sometimes, not really hungry, but you know, there's a comforting aspect to it, and he stops crying, and then eventually he goes back to sleep. And then you do that for the whole night. So you anticipate it, since he wakes up every 2 hours, right? So every 2 hours, as soon as he cries, shove the nipple in his mouth. So you anticipate it every 2 hours, as soon as he wakes up, shove the nipple in his mouth, let him feed. Because the only reason the baby wakes up is to feed. You know, the newborn does that. He doesn't have any concept yet of playtime. So he just sleeps, and then when he's hungry, he wakes up to feed, and then he goes back to sleep. Now, you use that to your advantage so that when you know he's going to wake up, he's going to feed, just shove the nipple in his mouth. And as soon as he's feeding, he's going to go back to sleep. So in that way, he practically doesn't wake up. You know, he's half asleep when he's feeding, when you do that method. So eventually he will have longer sleeps at night, and that would help his body recognize that, oh, this time of day I should be asleep. So when he grows a bit older, he won't wake up in the middle of the night anymore. He's just gonna cry, he's gonna ask for food. And the other side of that coin is that as soon as the sun rises, you know, the baby's gonna be up too. So if before being a parent, you were the type who woke up late and didn't wake up with the sun, you know, some people, you know, sleep at like 3 a.m. That's going to change when you become a parent, because you're going to have to wake up with your baby, and your baby will be waking up with the sun. Yeah, when the baby's older, of course, like I told you, he's going to have longer sleeps at night. Sometimes he can do 8-hour stretches at night, which is a good thing, but you'll also have to give him morning naps, you know. He can't be awake the whole time the sun is out. So it's not going to be like a 12-hour thing, like 12 hours asleep, 12 hours awake. He's going to have some naps in between. So what I would suggest is have a 2-hour nap in the morning and then a 2-hour nap in the afternoon. And you have to make it regular, because, you know, if it becomes off by even an hour, like for example, you set your afternoon naps at 2 to 4. So he sleeps at 2 p.m., he wakes up at 4 p.m., and then he does his thing, plays with you, or whatever he does, and then at around 7 to 8 p.m., that's when he goes to sleep, for his nighttime sleep. So if you adjust that, like you let him take his nap at 3 p.m., then he wakes up at 5, it's going to throw the whole thing off. So he's going to be sleeping later, an hour later, sometimes even 2 hours later, because, you know, he still has the energy to stay up. So I would suggest sticking to the schedule, because the purpose of that is really for him, you know, you have to train him to have these long stretches at night, and the afternoon naps should supplement that night sleep. It should not overlap with it. So if your night sleep starts at 8 p.m., you have to make sure he's going to be sleepy by that time. So some things to do would be engage in lots of physical activity, you know, play with him a lot, so that by 8 p.m. he's going to be sleepy, and then he does his long evening sleep. So just make sure that the nap, again, plays a supporting role to the longer nighttime sleep, because that is what's important, the nighttime sleep. And the nap should support that, not overlap with it. Alright, so that'll be all for this episode. You can send me a message at firsttimedadpodcast@gmail.com. That's 1ST, timedadpodcast@gmail.com. Or search at firsttimedadgp on Facebook. That's first, F-I-R-S-T, time, dad, and then GP, my name, on Facebook. Please give it a like and follow if you haven't already. And you can listen to First Time Dad on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other major podcast platforms. All right, so thank you for listening to this episode, and I'll see you again on the next episode. Goodbye.